This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. Good afternoon. Frida Liu here. Now, crowdsourcing touches across all social and business interactions. It's changing the way we work, hire, research, make, and market. Governments applying crowdsourcing to empower citizens and give a greater voice to the people. In science and healthcare, crowdsourcing can democratize problem solving and accelerate innovation. And with education, it has the potential to revolutionize the system, just as crowdfunding is currently challenging traditional banking and investing processes. I'm here with Epi Ludwig Nekai, founder and CEO of Crowdsourcing Week. And this is an event that's happening the first week of April in Singapore. But, you know, perhaps we can start off with the genesis of how Crowdsourcing Week started.
Well, thank you, Frida. Yeah, it's really amazing. We're in a crossroad where social media has turned into social productivity. And the reason why we're doing this crowdsourcing week, and we're doing it here in Asia, is because Asia represents quite a big crowd, and yet there still need to this type of practice need to be applied, not just in the organization, not just into the government and the public sector, but also people itself. They have to really come with a mindset and look at the way how internet is today. That's the reason why we're doing it.
And this is not the second time you're doing this in Singapore?
Yes, this is a second year that we're doing in Singapore, which is April 7-11.
All right. So the first time you did it, what were some of the outcomes from that event?
So the outcome is lots of education we have to do. What we did is we brought this concept to the public and private sector. Pretty much like showing like what the best practices are, and so we were able to bring speakers from around the world to really show the best practices. This year, what we're trying to do is we're trying to really bring the theme that we came up with, which is crowd impact, empowering transformation. So how the crowds are impacting these organizations, and how these organizations have to think beyond their regular processes they have in their R&D labs or in many other processes.
Okay, and you talked about this mindset,
yes.
Right? What's this mindset that we have or don't have, or should have?
Well, you know, average people today, you know, you have those four main activities that people do today on internet. They search and read online, they buy things, they share on Facebooks and Twitter, on social, and they also they send emails. Obviously, you know, we are in that crossroad, as I said, is the turning to social productivity, where now you can look at the internet differently. You can be part of this ecosystems where now your passions and talents are being met in these platforms. And if you've been just thinking that where America Got Talent has to come to you, now you got America Got Talent at the click away.
Okay, now the kind of people that will be at the event next week, who are we looking at?
So lots of decision makers, executives from enterprise and also from government entities. Our approach is basically we're trying to really bring this understanding, so facilitate this knowledge in one stage, in one week. Bring many different areas of crowdsourcing and being in marketing, media, to innovation, telecoms, how telecoms are really doing something with this data. Also crowdfunding, which is really big.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned this early, crowdfunding is something that people are still using crowdsourcing, crowdfunding interchangeably, which is not. But on the same way, if your aim only to really get the funds from the crowd and not get them part of this innovation process that you want to bring, then you're also you're missing that link. So I think the true understanding of crowdfunding and crowdsourcing has to be taught in a way that understanding of what the social is first in place, and then second, how you can really bring this hyper-connective crowd into the table where the passions and talents are.
Okay, who are some of the key speakers coming?
So we got from a public sector, we got Jennifer Gristedig from NASA. We have Jeremiah Ouyang, he's from Crowd Companies. Sean Moffitt, he's from Wikibrands. Most of the speakers come from North America and from Europe. And the reason why is because North America is the lead in the space, including Europe, but Europe is more scattered.
Right. Okay. So a lot of them from America. Now, do you have these events outside of Singapore?
Yes, we do. The global conference is in Singapore. This is the second year that we're doing. Beside the global conference, we also do the summits, and the summits are like one day, mm-hmm. Focused on 2-3 relevant topics. The next ones we have in June it's in Brussels, and we have in a few other cities in Europe.
Okay, well. So we could have one in Malaysia too.
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, as we were saying, that people are always thinking of just funding now, and also, when you look at these crowdsourcing events, do you see it still obviously or not so obvious veering towards technology and innovation, you know, with products and services? You know, is it always that kind of ideas that we're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we've seen before where some people out there that are preaching crowdsourcing as an industry. They're also talking about crowdsourcing as a technology. We look at crowdsourcing as a practice, and there's technologies that enable these crowdsourcing models to bring to the table. Mm. So when you look at crowdfunding itself, you have over 600 platforms around the world. How many of those are active? How many of those are really bring the communities that really matters for your product you're trying to raise funds? Is the question mark that you have to really, it's a question that you have to ask for yourself. So in a way, technologies are becoming pretty sophisticated in this space. But when you take the crowdsourcing approach, so let's say I come from New York, and I remember when New York came out and they wanted to do this bike sharing in New York City. Mm-hmm. And if they would come to me and they say, hey, we're going to do bike sharing, I would say this is not going to work in New York. And the reason why is because you have...
You'll never see your bike again.
You'll never see the bike again, exactly. But the idea is that when New York, they did this, they asked the New Yorkers, where would you like to have the stations of these bikes? Then he asked the stations, then he asked the people where the station will be, because they have this data where the most populated blocks are. Pretty much what they want to find out, they want to find out how passionate New Yorkers are about bike sharing, which no one ever gets this in the first place.
Mm. Okay. And so in the end, what was the outcome of that?
So the outcome is like, you know, when they found that New Yorkers are so passionate about this bike sharing thing, then they brought this in the whole design and the whole parks around around people. So, you know, if you go today on a Broadway, let's say from 23rd Street all the way down. Today Broadway has changed completely. They made these routes for the bikers,
the bikes,
and
right.
So the taxis they drive slower.
Right.
So it changed the whole way of how
people live.
Exactly.
And it, I guess, environmentally as well. You know, there's less fumes going on in New York. More people riding bicycles.
Exactly.
Okay, and you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the other aspects of how crowdsourcing can work in this part of the world, should work in this part of the world. Right after this, Epi Ludwig Nikai from Crowdsourcing Week. It's Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Center. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu speaking to Epi Ludwig Nikai from Crowdsourcing Week. This is an event that's happening in Singapore in April, on April 7th. You know, just early on, we were talking about the benefits of crowdsourcing and how, you know, even that in New York, where there was a way of asking the questions because we were worried that, you know, if you did this bike sharing thing, the bikes will never be seen again.
Yeah.
But it was just the way it was worded. And I was saying, well, I crowdsource. I go on my Facebook first. I said, you know, who's looking buying a house in, you know, this location? And then, you know, whoever's interested, look for me. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you crowdsource, you got to put some good intelligent structures before you even start thinking. You know, coming back even to the Malaysian Airlines, you know, when the company Tom Nod out of Colorado and Digital Globe, they decided to really take these images from satellite and crowdsource them. Mm. And you think about, you know, what they're applying something. Mm. They have a technology, and these guys have technology. They're combining their two technologies, but the primary resource is pretty much the people who are helping them out. So they're activating people to take their time to really find out where this missing plane is.
Right.
So the idea is that, like, today, you can activate people much faster. The reason why crowdsourcing today is so big, and it's going to become so big, is because today people are walking with their mobile phones everywhere they go.
Right.
And technology is enabling people. Mm. So it's no longer about just people have to go at home and sit in front of the PCs in order for them to really be part of this. Now it's like they can be part of anywhere at any moment.
Okay, it's a very interesting concept. You're talking about sharing the digital images of you know, while we're all looking for the plane. And it's very true, isn't it? And how that can be used. Again, you know, when... So this event that's happening in Singapore... Okay, there's another thing as well. When you look at crowdsourcing in Asia, do we have a rather secretive or rather protective attitude towards things that sometimes we lose out on what collaboration can do?
Yeah, I mean, Asia, obviously the culture is very different than the Western culture. And obviously, you know, when I've seen the crowdfunding that here in Asia, it's a very infant stage, is because the culture is very different, and partially is because of the they Asia itself. If you look at history, they haven't been innovating for a long time, and the reason why is because it's more they want to see like proven concepts.
Yeah.
So in a way, what I see that the future now it's in Asia is because the internet, the hyperconnectivity and technologies are enabling now, so the risk is becoming slimmer and slimmer. So now it's in Asia's turn with people that can co-create and collaborate together from one part to another part of the one of the corner of the country.
Where social media turns to social productivity.
Absolutely.
As you were saying as well. Okay. You know, so this event is happening in Singapore, and you're giving out a special code.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the code is BFM.
Right, and so get a 50% off.
Absolutely.
Right, so for and it's over 3 days.
Yes. So the format of the conference is Monday through Friday. Monday basically is the opening day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday we focus with content and presentations, keynotes, and panels. And then Friday we do a crowdfunding workshop where we have people from the platform, but also the lecturers from Kickstarter, Indiegogo, who raised a quite substantial amount of money.
Right.
And they're going to show how to apply this type of techniques.
So there are obviously opportunities to network and to present whatever they've got.
Absolutely.
And will there be some sort of matching, so to speak, in terms of if they've got a business idea, who they can work with, or really a lot of it is also them having to do some work and doing some research while they're there?
Well, I mean, we tend to give quite a good time for the networking. Mm. So the network is that part of it we want to really play for people, that they can really connect with the right people that they want to exchange ideas. In our case, we just want to really make sure that the content is something that we've been curating and bring this content that is really matters to the organizations to people that are coming in.
I know it happens in Singapore because a lot of people do fly in there, but do you see a lot of participants coming from the region attending?
Yeah, so far we have people from 25, we have delegates from 25 countries who registered.
Okay.
Last year we had from 23 countries, this year we surpassed that, and so we're looking... Our goal is to have it from 40 countries. So
okay, so that's the goal that you're going for. All right, again, so anyone who's interested, I guess you can check out crowdsourcingweek.org.
Crowdsourcingweek.com.
I will do a search, you'll find them. you know, that's the beauty of it. And put a code for BFM and get 50% off. If you like to find out that there's more to crowdsourcing. This crowdfunding is a lot. It's just one aspect of that. Do check it out. So thank you for being with us. Epi Ludwig Nekai from Crowdsourcing Week. This is Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.